This is Mile High.
We have to do it better in order to move people along.
Up, down, inside out.
If you get your mind right,
it is not. It is a receiver of thought.
Because love is my first technique.
It's now time for the show.
Welcome to the Mile High Podcast. This is your host, Dr. Daniel Knowles, hailing from a mile high altitude and psyched to have you listening to us. And I want to encourage you to, number one, hit subscribe, whether you're listening to this on iTunes, watching on YouTube, listening on Stitcher, or one of the many other ways to access this, even Facebook. Hit the subscribe button so you never miss an episode. That's number one. And number two, I want to recommend you clear your calendar if you haven't already and get registered for Mile High August 16th to 19th, www.milehighcairo.org. We would love to see you and your team there. And it is the highest event in chiropractic. And today, I am super stoked to have our guest. Dan McCoy has been helping chiropractors with a very important area of their practice, which is IT, security, everything related to that. Many people have tech subluxations in their practice and don't realize it. And I am certain after this episode, I'm going to realize that I have several. And honestly, I'm doing this episode somewhat selfishly to get the time to talk to Dan to learn. And I know you're going to learn here as well. Welcome to the Mile High Podcast, Dan McCoy.
What's going on, Dan? I love that name. Your mom couldn't have done it any better. And so I appreciate you having me on, and I'm excited to help you learn and share with the other docs listening.
And first thing I'm going to start out with is that you are a huge chiropractic advocate, obviously, and a steward to taking care of your spine, because just before we started recording, we both talked about how we're at standing desks and we're on our mats. I've got my Terra mat here, and so we both may move around a little bit, right? And it's because we're taking care of our bodies when we're working, you know. So now you have tell a little bit about how you got connected to chiropractic, first of all, and before we get into tech, like how did you find your way connected to the chiropractic world?
Yeah, so back in 2009, I started coaching with Garrett Gunderson.
Oh, awesome!
And so a number of us. You know, obviously this was actually really before he was working with chiropractors, but he was just starting to, and he was starting to work with guys like Dr. Dan Yachter, Chris Zano. And so very quickly I found myself surrounded by, people that I liked, let me just put it that way. Because, you know, I found that the chiropractic profession was a very close knit community. And, just like any other family, they both support each other and fight. And so, What we found is that, you know, at about that same time, I was dealing with some challenges in my life. I had two family members on long-term medications, and one of my colleagues said, hey, you know, one of them was my son. He had a lot of ADHD type symptoms. And he said, hey, if my chiropractor was able to help in this situation in my life, and would you like her to give you a call? Now, he's in Chicago. And so was she. And so she reached out to me and spent an hour on her phone, on the phone with my wife, not getting paid, doesn't even know me, and spent an hour on the phone with my wife and myself educating us how chiropractic is more than neck and back pain treatments, something I didn't realize. And so in that process, I dug in deeper because that's who I am. I dig deep. And when I started to really understand that there was more to it than that, that it truly is a way of life and that it can help you actually grow as a human to function better. And so we did that. And so I went from being sick 4 to 5 times a year to not once in 4 years. Wow. And so there was obviously, that's powerful, right? There's obviously some other aspects of things that I changed in my life. And so I like to say I live the chiropractic lifestyle, as the Palmers say, the three T's I attempted to eliminate and make better in my life, right? I eliminated some bad foods that were causing some toxins in my life. I eliminated the stinking thinking, and that's a lot of what Garrett helped me do. And then in addition to that, I took care of my body. I mean, it got the function, you know, working the way it should be. And both my family, my wife is a dental hygienist, and she gets adjusted regularly. In fact, I think she was talking about going and getting it adjusted today. It has allowed us to continue to truly thrive. So I'll add a fourth T into that. So.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. And you know, I love when I work with people in different aspects of my practice and my office that are already on the chiropractic mission and get chiropractic in their own life. And I really intentionally look for that. And you know, you've got to love a tech person that in their room has an Angry Birds poster up. You just got to love that.
That was something my son gave me. You could see, you know, some people have this pretty background and stuff like that. My daughter drew that. She's 8 years old, and she drew that behind me. And you know what? I mean, you could see our motto up there, our three P's, protection, productivity, and profitability. We'll talk about that later. But the I love you back there, you know, she came and erased the old one. It was hearts for Valentine's Day. And she says, I got to put a spring one up. So got to love it.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. And it's beautiful. And, you know, that's, again, putting, you know, keeping family at the forefront. Now, so technology has inundated chiropractic offices, as it is our whole life. Our whole lives, you know, and I'm sad to say, or not sad, but like, sorry, admitting that, like, I practiced at a time where there was, like, I didn't have email in my office, you know, and you know, change that, obviously, and we have a very tech heavy office. So I am sure that there's lots of vulnerabilities in every chiropractic office that people just simply don't realize. So now, relative to this, it's a big picture. What is some of the fundamental things that you see in chiropractic offices that, like, make you cringe?
Well, and this is true really in any business, but I don't know why it is, but there are some chiropractors that just think that they are too small to be targeted. And so it's that it can't happen to me. It's like, I can't get cancer. I can't be hacked. Why would they care about me? I'm just a, you know, little guy. And so at the end of the day, one of the things that you need to consider and understand is that there are two different types of attacks when it comes to a hack of any sort. One would be a targeted attack. So say you're high profile, say you're Billy D, right? You know, and somebody wants to actually deal, you know, take this guy down because he's bigger than life. So at the end of it, but then there's those docs who just, you know, nowhere town USA. At the end of the day, why do they want to come after me? Well, no, it's not a case that they're targeting you directly. The reason they come after you is it's a blanket attack. They're going to see who bites. It's like a fishing expedition. So they send out the rod and see who's going to bite. Why? Because they can. You, whoever you is, may not have the proper protections in place. You're small, and it goes unnoticed. I mean, think about this. Look at some of these big names. Target, almost every major retailer has been attacked. And how long has it taken them to figure it out? It may be 2, 3, 4 months after it happens that they figure it out. But the reason that they figure it out is because they have systems monitoring it.
Mm-hmm.
Little docs don't.
Right, yeah.
So it goes unnoticed. It goes unnoticed.
Absolutely.
And your patients are paying the price.
Yeah.
So I think that's the number one thing that I see is this mentality is that it can't happen to me. And so one of the concerns that I have with that concept is that it's also counterproductive to this philosophy that you have called chiropractic, where you're wanting to impact more patients. Because the question I ask you, Dan, is if you're seeing, let's say you're seeing 500 patient visits a week, and you have an attack that is now taking your focus away from your practice. Are you going to see more or less than that during that time?
Well, you're going to be less. And that's the key thing in chiropractic practice growth is, where's your focus?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of things that can take our focus away. It could be Facebook. Facebook can be both good and bad. It can be a time suck. It can also be a valuable tool. How you manage it is a key. So anything that takes your focus away from building your practice and doing more of your mission isn't good. And that's unfortunately the byproduct of what happens when somebody thinks they're too small to be targeted.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, and I'm really grateful that you're doing this for chiropractors. Before we delve deeper into some more issues, how did you start your relationship with this technology in terms of your expertise? Like, why should someone trust you? How did you get to where you are and what you know?
Yeah, so great question. I spent 15 years, my background is electrical engineering. I spent 15 years designing aircraft cockpits for a large aerospace provider. And so making technology work at a grand level is something that is super important to me. And it was how I kind of started things out. More importantly, my background is computer architecture. So designing actually the innards of the computer, if you will, is a part of what I've done my entire life. And so the lessons that I learned working for them was how to assess and mitigate risk, how to properly monitor and manage an environment that's, might I add, life and death critical if something goes wrong. I mean, you know, you lose your flight computer in the middle of a battle zone, it was for a military aircraft, you're in trouble. And so making sure that you don't have issues in that area, like, you know, how does that translate into a chiropractic world? Well, at the end of the day, it's technology. But what it also taught me is to work with clients and customers at a different level. Most engineers that I know are very nerdy, and I'm a total nerd. I love nerding out. But my conversations are never technical or very rarely technical when I'm working with a chiropractor. Why? Because I understand the business. And so when I it's a business conversation. At the end of the day, I want to understand the business and I want to understand how technology can help you grow the business. But first, we have to eliminate those underlying technology subluxations. So talk more about that in a minute.
Yeah, awesome. And I know you're fired up about chiropractic and you're fired up about technology. But, you know, what I've heard you say is that you're fired up at a level that you are taking on the whole U.S. What do you mean by that?
Go big or go home, I think is the best way to say that. At the end of the day, I made a decision to choose to focus on chiropractic exclusively. So I have other clients who are not chiropractors because there has been a fit and they've reached out to me. But 100% of all of the communication and marketing I do is to chiropractic. Why? I have a big, hairy, audacious goal, and I'll be keep it clean, a BHAG, to impact 10,000 chiropractors. If you watch the video on the front of my website, you'll see that our goal is to impact 10,000 chiropractors. And so that's happening two ways. One, there's what, 60 or 70,000 chiropractors, give or take, in the U.S. I want to be able to impact as many of them to understand this message, something that's not taught in school. There's philosophical groups, there's practice management groups, there's all kinds of education that happens in school, but not many people are teaching HIPAA compliance, not many people are teaching technology and how you can actually use it as a tool to grow your practice. And so I'm on that mission, that big why, to impact as many docs so they can spread the message greater, because, you know, I could become a chiropractor. And I've even thought about opening up a chiropractic practice, not becoming a chiropractor per se, but opening up a practice just as a business owner. But I decided that I could focus my energy at a different level. And if I can help a chiropractor impact 100 more patient visits a week and do that times 100 or 1,000, then I can touch way more patients than I would possibly be able to see myself. So there's two different philosophies, right? You can go become a chiropractor and change the world, or you can help a lot of chiropractors change the world and it becomes a scalable multiplier.
Awesome. Awesome. So when you look at chiropractic offices and you consult with them and you help them, and by the way, the website that you have, it's if I've got that right, it's techsubluxation.com, right?
That's correct.
So I love that. Okay, and there are subluxations other than the ones in your spine. There's other obstructions to your success, and this is one of them. What are the top three mistakes that you see chiropractors do?
Well, one of them I kind of already gave you, and that was thinking that you're too small to be targeted. That's we've already addressed that one. The second one is thumbing their nose at HIPAA. And so I have a talk I did. I don't know if you know Dr. John DeVilla or not, but I did a talk for his group. Mm-hmm. And it was called Hungry, Hungry HIPAA, How Following the Rules Can Keep Your Practice More Protected, Productive, and Profitable. And so there's this philosophical link between technology and chiropractic. And there's no one thing that can make you well as a human function at its best. Your body, you can get adjusted and only get adjusted, and you can put a bunch of trash food in your body, and you can walk around hanging around with negative people and think bad thoughts and all that kind of stuff. And the reality is you're not going to be healthy. Your body's not going to function well. Health is about function. It's not about how you feel. And so one of the challenges, I think, is there's a big parallel into the chiropractic world, or into the technology world, is there's no single thing that you can do to solve a problem. It's about a strategy and layering mm-hmm. to fix a problem. People will ask me a question like, what's the best antivirus? Well, it's the wrong question to be asking, because there's a lot of other holes in the armor. And so if you only focus on one of them, you can't protect yourself properly. It's got to be done in layers, one. And two, you've got to plug all the holes, all the leaks, or you're not going to solve the problem. And so thumbing their nose at HIPAA is a big piece. People go, well, got to go do this HIPAA compliance. And so I challenge people to think of it from a different perspective. When you really get into it, what HIPAA requires and wants you to do is actually good for your business. So if you're a good business owner and you're not just owning a job, then backing up your data properly, making sure the bad guys stay out, making sure that you've properly documented where does your health information lie, making sure that your email is encrypted so the bad guys are not getting the communication between your patient that is sensitive. Those types of things are things that are good for your practice. Why? Well, I have a now client who came to us as a result of a breach they had. Someone broke into their office and stole 80 patient records. They were paper folders. Now, the computer with so much more information happened to have been sitting right down there, but they were on foot, and we assumed that they didn't take it because it would have been difficult to carry. They stole 80 patient records. That cost her $5,000 out of her pocket to go deal with all of the notification, everything she had to go do, and Dan, she lost three patients over that, who were angry that she was careless enough to leave their records sitting on the front desk. So now, that's three less patients she gets to impact, not to mention the mental thoughts problems that come from having to deal with all that, and her focus being elsewhere and having to hire somebody to go deal with all of this and so forth. So would you say that helped her practice grow or didn't?
Right.
So,
right.
You know, in that situation, by not paying attention to the rules, by ignoring it, it impacted her business. Had she locked that stuff up? Had she, and I don't think it was intentional. It wasn't like a callous nose thumbing. It was just a lack of attention. And it's the little things in our lives that we don't pay attention to that can cause us our greatest pains.
Wow. Yeah. And you put another, in that analogy, or that not analogy, in that area, you forgot one other thing, which is referrals. Like who those three people would have referred over the next amount of time, because I'm sure they won't be referring. They may actually say negative things, which will lose clients. And this happens, things like that happen in offices all the time, not only in tech, but in other areas, that you lose clients because of just areas of not managing your business well. And people forget how important technology is today to everybody. It's almost so all around us that we can forget about how the implications of that. So now you mentioned something important, which is how that there's a tie between chiropractic philosophy and technology. And I'm not thinking you're talking about Terminator and Skynet, like, but but there's something about technology and philosophy. Tell us about that and your intake, your thoughts on that.
Yeah, so I started touching on that just a little bit, and one of the things that that you know, there's two facets to that. Okay, so first of all, I already kind of mentioned the three T's, and that there's not one single thing that you can look at to, you know, there's subluxations come from different angles, right? There's chemical, there's physical, there's mechanical, and there's thoughts. And so in the same fashion, there's multiple angles that you have to take to protect yourself. But the other piece of that is that what you guys do from a patient standpoint. Well, I'll ask the question. How about we do it this way? If a patient comes into your office, do you want to wait, you know, say, okay, you know what? Here's your adjustment. Now come back to me when you're in pain again. Is that the way you'd rather do it? Or would you rather have them checked regularly to make sure that you've eliminated any subluxation, to be proactive for their health, and help them understand that function isn't a one and done. You didn't get this way overnight. You're not going to get fixed overnight. One, two, that more importantly, that it's a process, and it's right. An ongoing process. Health is an ongoing process. It's not a point in time.
Right.
Neither is compliance. Neither is HIPAA. HIPAA's not, there's no point in time where you're suddenly HIPAA compliant. You might have fulfilled all the requirements, but it's an ongoing process. It's just like skiing. I teach skiing. And so you ski, right? You're in Colorado. Yeah. All right. So skiing is a dynamic sport. And I say you either fall in the past or move into the future. So as you ski down the hill, if you stay still, your skis are going to go forwards and you're going to go into what we call the back seat, and you're going to get out of control because you're going to tips. Your tips are going to come up, and those are the things that allow you to control your speed. Okay? But if you move into the turn and move yourself down the hill, something that's scary, especially as the pitch increases, but to actually move down the hill, that's actually helping you stay in control. And there's a lot of similarities to that in when it comes to HIPAA compliance. It's a process, it's an ongoing thing, and it is a mindset. And that's a key piece. It's that, how can you say you're a principled doc who follows a philosophy that was taught that helps people get better and ignore the rules that can impact you? It is incongruent to say that. So that's why I say that those two have to collide, and you got to understand that the concept of being proactive. Why as a business owner would you hire an IT guy and only call him when your stuff is broken, when you're down, when you're not seeing as many patients? Why wouldn't you bring him on board to be proactive and to monitor and protect? It's discontinuous in the philosophy. If your philosophy is that you want patients to come in and be taken care of, to be proactive about their health, then why would you allow a piece of your business that can impact you or prevent you from doing that to operate a different way? Does the IT guy make money when you're up or when he's down? If you only call him when it's broken, then he's only making money when you're down. So what incentive does he have to keep you up and running? Why not pay him to keep you up and running and make sure that you can do the thing that helps you impact more people?
Well, and it goes back to a very important thing. There's certain foundational values and principles within the chiropractic profession, and no matter, even though if we have different techniques and even different ranges in the spectrum of straight and all that stuff, there's certain foundational values that we share, and you named a couple of them, right? That your body's smart, that we share that, right? And that interferences and obstructions are bad. right, to the innate functioning, and that health is not an event, that you know, you getting unhealthy and going towards disease, it doesn't fall on you by chance, right? It's a process, and being strong and healthy and well-aligned and being at your best doesn't happen by accident. You were just lucky that you know, you look like Arnold Schwarzenegger or whatever it is. You know, like, that there's a process to create yourself being healthy, well, fit, and your spine being healthy, and right. So, and there's other foundational values and principles that we share. You go much deeper than that, but those are some on the superficial or just on the surface, a core that pretty much all chiropractors are going to agree with. And then the same thing goes into running a business. So if you don't maintain the running of a business, then what are you doing, right? And if you think, hey, I can just set up everything in my office and then I never have to update the furniture and the carpeting and so on, well, that's you know, hey, my phone, I mean, I get updates on it daily. I get more updates on it than I want to have. Like, I'm like, man, another update, right? Like,
I've got one I'm waiting to install right now.
Yeah, you know, like, but it's important. So updating your body, updating your operating system, your nervous system, right? So you've got to update your stuff in your business. It's part of being alive.
It is. And I got one of the core values in my company, and we live by our core values. And I think one of the biggest successes that I can claim is that my team lives our core values. And the reason I know that is because I hear them parroting back what I say. Like, for example, one of our core values is we are excellent communicators. And they'll start out a conversation, because we are excellent communicators, blah, blah, blah. And they'll over communicate something. And I can never fault them for living our core values. But one of our core values is 100% accountability. And it's something that has been a big frustration in my life when I hear people say things like, I caught their cold. Like, you had nothing to do. Like, they think you walk in the room, well, why did I get sick and why didn't you? Or why did you get sick and why didn't I? I was in that same room. What's the difference? Did those germs suddenly, like, rattle around my nose? I mean, come on. So, and I don't even want to get into too much philosophy of true health here, but at the end of the day, I am 100% responsible and accountable for my health. And to say that anybody else had any short of running into me with a car, which, you know, you can't control, I have a lot of responsibility for my health. And to say that I caught it from someone else, or that I'm obese because of my genes, or any of those types of things, like, let's start taking accountability and responsibility for who we are as people first, and then secondarily in our businesses. Take control and stop allowing things to just happen by accident or by chance.
Yeah, 1,000%. Right. And so, you know, if you think about that in the germ theory, then, well, guess what? Don't let your office be vulnerable. Right.
There's no difference between it. But see, those analogies, people don't. Listen, at the end of the day, are you going to take responsibility, grab life by the horns and move forwards? Or are you going to make excuses?
Yeah.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
So now here's the thing. If you're talking to a chiropractor, and we're talking to thousands of them right now, right? So what are the things that you'd say, hey, you got to look at this, like your top two or top five things or whatever, that you should just look at your computer and look at this to see, these are like huge gaping holes, red flags that maybe you better take action yesterday.
Yeah. There's a lot. And so I'm honestly doing a disservice if I just give you one or two, but I will do that because you asked. Patches, updates. Are you up to date? Do you have the latest patches? There was a massive outbreak you may have heard called WannaCry, where back in April of, it's probably been a year now, April of last year, there was a patch that Microsoft put out 4 months later that would have protected that from happening in people's network. 4 months later, massive, massive, massive outbreak of WannaCry, which encrypted all the files. By the way, I had a chiropractor call me because 9 years worth of her data was lost through an encryption, and she did not have a backup.
Wow. That's bad.
There's simply no excuse. But that aside, it's malpractice at one level.
Yeah.
but then, the bigger picture is how is she able to serve people better, right? So making sure your stuff is properly patched. Had those patches been in place from 4 months ago, then those machines would not have been vulnerable because it was a known problem in the operating system, which is Microsoft's life story. The reality is, and by the way, I got to address this because it drives me nuts. Like, Macs are not the answer. Are they inherently by design a little bit more secure? Yes. But this mindset that Macs don't get viruses and that they solve your problems is like so broken on so many levels. Like, it's a different day's conversation. But just wipe that from your mind. If you're a Mac fanboy, perfect. Go for it. Run. I mean, just make sure you protect it. Make sure you put antivirus on there. Make sure you don't thumb your nose at it just because it's a Mac. Anyway, so that would be number one, would be making sure that you've patched your machines. The second would be, and I caution saying backup, because there's a talk I do called When Your Backup Can't Get You Back Up. And part of it is because backup is a tactic, and the strategy really needs to be business continuity. You've got to ask yourself the question this. For example, let's say you're using, I'll pick ChiroTouch because I know that's an on-premise or server-based electronic medical record software package. You have a server on site, and say it's 5 years old and not under warranty. This is a question I often ask a doc. If your server were to fail today, how long would it be before you could get back up? Is it 1 hour? Is it 2 hours? Is it a day? Is it a week? First question. Second question, what's important? Because you've got to ask yourself the question. If you're seeing 30 patient visits a week, being down for 4 days may not be that big a deal, or having to revert to paper for 4 days may not be that big a deal. But if you're seeing 500 patient visits a week or more, being down for 4 days is a flipping disaster. So the question you've got to ask in your practice is, how long can I afford to be down before it goes from being a minor inconvenience to a major pain in the butt to a flipping disaster? Okay, that's the first question. The second question is, how long will it take me to get back up? And if you don't know the answers to that, you've got a dilemma. Because now, going and throwing a piece of technology at it, like backup, doesn't help you. Because you could be backing your stuff up. You may have 100 gigabytes that's off-site, and it may take 4 days to download it because you're on a slow DSL internet connection in the middle of East Jibip, Iowa. So having a strategy is important, not just a tactic. And so that's a question that's got to be asked. You got to make sure you're backing up. Any backup's better than none, but having the right backup is important, and the right solution, because there are solutions that can bring you back up within an hour while you get your technology fixed, and then transfer it back to that. I mean, we use it for every doc that we work with. Right. So, as an example, there's the second one, and then third one, I would say it's just kind of simple. But not paying attention to your antivirus. You may have an antivirus program that's expired a week ago, a month ago, a year ago, and you just don't pay attention to it until you get an infection or something of that nature. By the way, not that an antivirus program by itself will protect you. There's, like I said, multiple layers that have to be put in place, and a single antivirus program isn't good enough to protect you. It's got to be multiple layers. I'll give you one more, just a freebie real quick. I have a client who, well, he's not a client yet. We're in conversations, but he had a patient a year ago browsing pornography while waiting in his waiting room on his iPad. So he's sitting there browsing porn, and he saw him. He's like, dude, really? Come on. So the question I have to ask, well, what if that was, say, child pornography or something that's actually illegal? We want to get into the moral aspect of this. What if that was something like that? Whose door is the FBI going to come knocking on because they traced your IP address back to you? Right. Is it going to be that guy, or is it going to be you?
Right.
So making sure that if you allow patients to access your guest Wi-Fi, which can be done securely if done properly, but if you do, one, that they don't have access and can't get access, that it's firewalled off, to your data, and two, that they can't browse to inappropriate places.
Right.
There's protections that need to be put in place to prevent that. So these are the types of things that most people don't even think about, but you go, oh, well, yeah, that could happen. And right. I bet there's people listening that have had it happen.
And there's something else that interferes with your success and impact in serving people. And it interferes big, and people don't realize it, which is your ability to sleep at night. So what happens is You don't have these things and you worry about it. And this happens in tech, it happens in finance, it happens in so many areas relative to practice. It happens in compliance with your state board. And so people think, well, I'm the magical healer, I'm a great chiropractor, I'm all about the art, I love the philosophy. And then when you go to these other areas, they're completely not paying attention to them. And the cost ends up being the patient. And that's the problem that people forget about, or they brush under the rug because they're the magical healer or whatever it is, right?
Yep. There's a difference between cost and price, and people forget that. The price is what you pay. The cost is what it really costs you. And there's opportunity costs. There's a lot of different types of costs, and that's what you're talking about.
Right, exactly. And that loss is huge. And it's not nice, you know, it's not pretty when it happens. So I'm really grateful for you to take the time to share this. And you've got to, when people want, where do people start if they want to, like, do a checkup or they want to find out more? Where do they start if they're like, oh man, I'm in the red in this area? Where would they start?
So the first thing I would recommend is they go out to my website. You're welcome to find me on Facebook, and I know the link will be below. The Facebook link that I am going to give you is my personal Facebook page. I am who I am at home and out in public. I mean, that's why I allow everybody on my personal Facebook page, because this is who I am. And so you can private message me on Facebook. I wouldn't encourage you to do that with your patients, but for me, it's perfectly fine. You can private message me on Facebook. You can send an email to me. You can reach me to dan.wellness@techsubluxation.com. Hopefully you can spell subluxation. dan.wellness@techsubluxation.com. That's one way. And then, or my website, techsubluxation.com. There's a form that you can fill out there. And, you know, you can reach out to me there and we can just have a conversation to see if, you know, we can help you grow. I will tell you something, Dan. I had a doc who reached out to me because he was tired of his previous IT guy and he got a side benefit of this. And after we started working together, a year after we started working together, he's up over 100 patient visits a week from what he was. And I asked him, what do you think made the difference? He says, freeing my mind to not worry about things, one, and two, to focus on my practice instead of what computers I need to buy to replace the front desk computer that just died, and deal with how to find the best deal and all that kind of stuff. Like to get that stuff off his plate allowed him to focus. And he grew as a result of it, because there's an intention that happens, and the way you show up with people, the way your energy is in that room changes when you're not thinking about this stuff in the back of your mind. And people don't understand those intrinsic benefits because they're not hard costs, right? They're those opportunity costs that people miss. So freeing your mind up, like you said, is super important. And we have proof in the pudding. I've got two docs who took action, and both of them are up well over 100 patient visits a week from where they were a year after they started working with us. So that's, can't argue with numbers.
Well, and that's awesome. And then I'm sure, and we don't need to go through it, but I'm sure you've seen also the carnage of not taking care of things. And that, you know, you've seen the examples of bad things happen.
Look at my website. The testimonials on there. The docs were very forthcoming in that.
Yeah. So I, first of all, I want to thank you for clearing the tech subluxation. Also, you told me there's something about this 21 questions. What is that?
Yeah, absolutely. So a lot of folks don't know how to hire an IT guy. Whether you hire us or whether you hire somebody else, at the end of the day, I want you to make sure the hire is a good hire. And so it's important to know what questions you need to know, right? I mean, an educated customer is your best customer. How many misconceptions do people have about chiropractic that you have to educate them and handle those objections? So this is really helping you understand the things you need to ask any IT guy you need to hire. So how to make that hire, the 21 most important questions you must ask before hiring any technology guy and letting them touch your network. So if you go to the website, and I think you're going to put a link below this,
yes.
techsubluxation.com/21 questions, you can download that and it'll help you out. And I've got a couple of other freebies that if you sign up for that, you're going to get. One is a free IT security tip. So once a week, you get a tip to keep IT security front of mind, because 60% of the breaches are caused by you.
There you go. There you go. Important. So we're going to, if anybody who's driving and listening to this, don't cause any subluxations. We don't try to write. We will have it in the podcast notes and on the blog. So you want to get the information there. And thank you so much, Dan McCoy, for all you're doing in chiropractic and being for people's technology doctor here to help them clear out their system so they can function at a higher efficiency like we want to see people do with Healthy Response.
Yes, sir.
And I really appreciate that you're doing that. And remind people, if you're watching this or you're listening to this, clear your calendar August 16th to 19th, www.milehighchiro.org. Grab your seats, bring your team, always bring your team to events, never miss Mile High, and we look forward to seeing you on higher ground. So thank you there again, Dan McCoy, and this is going to be a great episode for people to learn from.
Take care. Thanks.
Like our page on Facebook, www.facebook.com/milehighchiro.